Did you know that there are thousands of volunteers across the world serving to create lasting impact on our communities? That is just one of the many facts about volunteerism that you will hear on The Spotlight every Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Mariah, the Voice of Peace.
Welcome to The Spotlight. My name is Regina Gonle. The Spotlight is a program that brings you the voices of UN volunteers in South Sudan. In the studio, I have my guest, Christopher Kayongo. Christopher Kayongo, could you please introduce yourself to our listener?
I'm Christopher Kayongo, and I'm a development practitioner, an expert in development. I'm from Uganda by nationality. And I enjoy working in different countries, but I have worked much of the time as a volunteer in the mission for the last 7 years. In fact, without a break, I've been working as a volunteer in South Sudan.
How did you get yourself into the system? How has it taken you? How many years?
I have worked, worked in the social and development and the post-conflict countries before coming to UNMISS. And I experienced a lot that there must be someone to provide skills to suffering peoples, especially those affected by war. I experienced this, for example, in Nepal after the war that lasted for 10 years. Then there was a peace agreement. Then I found myself working in Nepal. I never expected that in such places, the problems that we face in Africa in post-conflict countries like South Sudan were there also. But I gained more experience. After I went back to profitable work, salaried work, but again, after some years, I found myself again in I had to volunteer.
Yeah. Okay, tell us, when was the time you found yourself now becoming volunteer, an international volunteer, and how did you feel?
Yeah, it is at the beginning, you are entering a kind of world you don't know. The first month, there are a lot of questions in yourself. Asking why they come here, is it going to work out, and all these kind of things. In fact, I came to South Sudan on the background that I would serve on only 1 year.
Then I would go back.
I wanted to provide that 1 year.
But now you're 7 years.
But I found myself 7 years. One of the things you see, once you start, you see that in a place you are new, you cannot easily just go. As you start, you find that there is very little time you have spent. You needed to consolidate what you have begun. You can't go in a place where 6 months, you say, now I'm going. You ask yourself, but what have I been doing here? You don't experience what you
build
have.
Build up yourself. Experience.
To build yourself, but also to build the people.
Yes, sure.
Because the first month you are building relation. Then the real work starts after.
Okay. So tell us about your childhood moments. That moment that defines what you are today.
For me, I grew up in my village in Kibale district, now Kibale district in Uganda. I went to the city when I was already after O-level. Then that's when I started seeing, the difference between the village. In the village, we would go around the whole day, mangoes free,
eating,
everybody is a friend, everyone. But then, go in the town, you see, really, there are
people
some
are
of the things, they are busy,
sense, yeah.
But not even water, you can get free.
Everything is bought.
Then you could see someone says he has nothing to eat. He did not have food, but I had never experienced that at home. Because at home,
we have the
food we want. Because we cultivate at home.
You are getting it from the shamba.
Yeah. Every family has that garden that where they are essential foods. But then that one defined my life to understand that the world really has some people who lack something.
Yeah. Now tell us what inspired you to work as a UN volunteer.
First of all, in the world outside there, it is prestigious to work with the UN. That is... It
you
is something you feel,
feel.
I want to work with this body, international body.
And it's a body that is difficult to enter into when you start
very
working
difficult,
there.
Yeah. Very difficult to enter. But a body that unites almost all the nations, now 193, that is a huge, huge number of Nations. But he attracted me. He said, how does it feel to be there? So I experimented, then I am there.
Okay, you explained this earlier, but I want you to bring us to, you have been having the assignment as UN volunteer. Has it taken you 2 years, 3 to get to the system when you start working?
Now, in South Sudan, before I came here, I was in Khartoum working for an international organization. I had to resign my job.
Okay.
I resigned it because now I said no.
Why did you resign?
I resigned because there were so many complexes, visas, all these kind of things. But I said no, let me go back in my country. Now I go and work as a volunteer. So when I came to work as a volunteer, so I had worked in South Sudan 2 years before going to Khartoum.
Yes, and the other thing is, you waited for how long to get a job? Because people are playing, the system takes them 3 years to, I don't know.
Even I had forgotten about it. That is 2007. That is when I applied. Then I forgot it.
They said, let me. Calling me.
All of a sudden, that year, a year before, that is 2011, I got an offer. That was the UNDP.
Okay.
But then after they said they had given that position to another person.
And you wait at a waiting list.
For me, I was working with another organization. So I went to Khartoum. Then I saw an offer. It took me 1 month to make my decision. Because you have to decide either to leave a job and go for the volunteering and all this.
You know of where you want to live.
So after 1 month, I responded. They said, okay, I will take it. Then I found myself in South Sudan.
Now, give us your first song.
You can give me that piece on Africa by Alpha Bronde, in particular South Sudan.
Okay.
Yeah, in particular South Sudan, because real peace. Everybody is talking about peace.
Okay.
That is the rare ingredient that is sought by everybody who is living in this country.
Shall not stand again. Babylon shall not stand again. 'Cause every day they're talking about the Liberian civil war, and everywhere over Jalen, muddy rivers of blood, oh Lord. Liberia is crying out, no matter who lose. Liberia still crying out, no matter who's right. They've got to stop the fight, no matter who's wrong. The devil's still stronger. We want peace in Liberia.
Tune to Spotlight, and in the studio I have my guest who is taking us through his life journey of volunteerism. So could you tell us what feeling you got when you first arrived in South Sudan?
The assignment the feeling is was there was a lot of bureaucracy. That is the feeling, this, fill this form, do this, that, move, check in, all this. That what, for me, it was strange. Too many, many processes before even you reach your duty station. Then my feeling also was very, very difficult. I mean, it was very challenging because at the time the mission was beginning. So the locations where we were being sent, conditions were very tough.
What conditions are those?
The living conditions, tough.
Yeah. The if you are not tough also, it's not easy, right?
No, you are not easy. Mm-hmm. And by then we were a number of volunteers. I think a number of them also did not go on for the second year.
Mm.
But the conditions were very tough. And
that was earlier, what year?
That is 2012.
At least. Oh, yeah, 2012. That time it was still really.
The mission had just.
South Sudan just succeeded.
Yes. Yeah. The mission had just started, and the bases were being established, especially the community, the county support bases.
So, what does your typical day at work look like?
Currently, a typical day is a day of meetings. Engagements, because now I'm focused, assigned as on the operations team for the UN House protection sites. So we have a lot we do with engaging with the communities, engaging with the partners. Then we have also meetings within the office. We have meetings with the partners on delivery of humanitarian services, but also one-to-one engagements with influencers inside the POCs. So also we have also going around the POC, go and meet the IDPs, talk to them, not in a meeting, but
influencers are leaders who are...
Those are
heading,
leaders.
Yeah, they have been elected to head.
No, they are leaders. They are some traditional chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's what
they are.
They are
elders. Mm. Okay. They are religious leaders. They influence the life in the POC.
Okay.
How, what to do, what to not, all these kind of things. They have a lot of influence in the POC.
Mm. And I think if there's anything, you meet them first and then...
We meet them. We... Also, sometimes groups.
Okay.
Yep. Mm.
So, what is the most interesting part of your UNV assignment?
The UNV assignment is interesting because we discover a lot. Because you'll find that even down in the remote areas, in these bases, like at the county level before, you'd find only the base manned by volunteers. So we go deep in the villages. We know more what happens at the grassroots than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So that discovering is very, very important for the mission, for understanding how communities live. Because the communities in rural areas don't live the same way the communities in urban areas do. The lifestyle is completely different. And these are the people... you find that there are no services. You need to reach them. Mm. There is no, sometimes even the arm of government is not very strong there because of many, many factors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of interaction as a UNV is very, very valuable. In fact, you can write books. For example, I worked in Pibo, among the Murule.
Yes.
Before I went there, you could hear stories, very tough people, but I found them very friendly people. And you go deep, you cross rivers. Sometimes there is no even vehicle that can reach some locations, but you are able to reach there, sometimes walking with the locals to go and find out exactly what is happening in the area, depending on the mandate you have as a section.
Hmm. So now let us look at your life being away from home. You have spent most of your assignment time away from your family. How has that affected you?
Yeah, it affects me since I came. Since 7 years, I have never gone even for home leave. Maybe once home leave, because we go for R&R.
Okay, that's so R&R is what helps you to relieve your working environment.
R&R is very, very important. It's very important because sometimes you find yourself in locations which are very stressful. You have nowhere to go, even for just to relax, just from office to your
container. Office. I mean, house.
And some places during the rain season, even you are not able to go to the field. You remain where you are.
Stepping is a problem.
No way. So you find it very stressful. So you need these breaks. When you go, you relax for 1 week, 2 weeks, if possible. Then you come back and it becomes part of you.
Thank you so much.
Do it for 2 years, 3 years, then it has become part of you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And we have made the talking. Let us also relax. What song you would want to give to our listener?
You can give me Lucky Dube, Respect.
Say have been your greatest achievement so far?
My achievement, I can say wherever I have worked, I have made, first of all, friends, and to understand them, also to make them also experience that friendship. The projects I did in Turale, like a simple road, not simple in terms of cost, but it is I'm calling it simple because of the length of the road. It was around 750, less than a kilometer. But it made a lot of meaning in the population. Because during the rain season, even a person in Turale Center, the trading center, could not reach the hospital.
But after that, they could
reach. That road, when we made it, many, many people came celebrating. Celebrating because that road made a difference. They would do now take their women going for maternity, going for
market,
taking a child, market, the hospital, mainly the market.
That's why
and the
they
hospital.
Say roads connect people.
Yes.
Without roads, people are not connected.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that is one of the other projects we did, like in Pibo, we did a bridge. Again, it is very difficult in the jungle when during the rain season. So bridges, small bridges, make a big, big meaning to the locals.
Yeah. Have you had some moments that maybe you regret or disappointed?
Yeah, sometimes you regret, you know. you find yourself, you are planned, for example, in a community like that, then a certain conflict comes in. Either there are two communities fighting over something, then it takes all the time because you cannot move because of security. This one happened almost 6-7 months in people. We could not do anything because there is a fight between two communities for that one. So you get frustrated. You are there as if you are not productive. And you feel you are energetic, your brain is there, but you are...
Sometimes you are confined in one place.
You are confined in one place. What can you do? You find you really find that you have a lot of resources, but wasted.
Okay. Yeah. So talking about volunteering, I believe you have been in fields, remote parts of the country. What survival skills have you acquired that you would think would be useful to other volunteers?
One of the skills is just to relax. Relax and take things simple. If you put a lot of emotions in these things that what is happening, maybe something is new, you see the suffering, the people, water they are drinking, all this, you will break yourself within the shop.
So you take it easy?
Take it easy because you cannot change these things in a very short time. These are the things that you are there to change, but they will take long. You must understand that the pace is not in your control. You are adding few things and others are adding so to make the life change. But if you go, you think that things should have changed in 1 week, don't this one, you get immersed with your emotions, you break.
You are the one to have the pressure, and for them, they are just...
Yes, they look at you, they laugh at you even. So you look at them, you say, you slowly, then they will change, they will understand.
Your approach. Slowly, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. How has your life changed by serving as a UN volunteer in South Sudan or anywhere?
You see, the life has changed that... What it reminds me always that this life, it is not only about money. No.
It's about what else?
The issue of humanity in this life, sometimes you see maybe someone has many things, but you ask, how many things do I need in this life as a person? The essentials. Yes, everybody wants to be rich. Even me, I want to be rich. But again, I think that who are these people? They are not able to afford even 2 meals a day. Are they... Am I special, more special than these people? What makes me, have everything, and for them they don't have? This, the humanity comes in. That is what I felt has strengthened that belief that no, there must be more justice in the world, more focus in the world, so that the people can change, understand at least the essentials, the basics everybody should have. When you look it into humanity and to that perspective, you will find, first of all, questions will come. Who am I that I have all these and the other one doesn't have? You hear people have chunks of land and another one doesn't have even a square meter of land. Then you ask, who is this person who has a square miles of land? And this one
they
doesn't
start
have...
digging the background.
Yes.
He was the... I don't know who, of the son of who. That's why they have ABCD, right? Yeah.
But again, they don't go beyond those who have all this. They don't go beyond this. Maybe they lack that skill and the skill and the knowledge and that feeling. Otherwise, if we can cultivate all this feeling and transmit it to others, I think the world will be different. We don't say that everybody should be equal. But we are saying that everybody should have the basics, food, that makes someone a human being, that dignity. Because if you are not able to have enough food, again, your dignity is not, you feel that you don't have dignity. Yeah.
Give us your next track.
African Must Unite, that from Ara Kelly.
This week and alone, I'm reaching out to the fortunate. What can build them homes? I'm reaching out to the one who seems to have lost their way, and I'm
calling on all the ones who can show them a brighter day.
Get back to my guest. How have you adjusted to the conditions in South Sudan that may have been so much different from your country?
Maybe I give you this example. In Uganda, we don't, especially in my area, we don't consider bread as food. It is like something you eat, like a snack or for breakfast. But in South Sudan, ash is very, very important. And I got used to this. Sometimes when I don't eat it, I don't feel that I have eaten. So I had to adjust myself, to adjust my lifestyle and make sure that I have to survive in the environment where I am. In terms of food, in terms of what is acceptable, like culture, and even the relation, how you relate to the people. How do you greet a woman, for example, among the Murle, or among the Dinka, or among the Nuer? They had all these kind of things very keen. You need to know how to, when you go to a restaurant, how do you ask the food? All these kind of things. So all these things made me understand and adjust to fit in the situation where I had to deliver the services that I'm sent to do.
What has volunteering in a different country away from home touched you?
The volunteering outside my country, especially South Sudan, it touched me because the country had come out of conflict and they got independence. And again, a new conflict, which is more difficult than the first one, became very complex, beat everyone to understand how to resolve it. It started as a simple thing. So it taught me now that these conflicts, in any country that has had a conflict, resolving it does not mean that it will not happen again. Like in South Sudan, you see now we have gone on 5 years now, just recently you see everybody is craving for peace. So it teaches me that people, yes, take long to understand even the complexities of conflict. It is very, very difficult. Even those who are in direct parties in the conflict, it is something they don't understand well. It is something that has to be resolved through concerted efforts, even with those who did not participate.
Okay, so tell us some of the projects that you have made and made you happy.
physical activities, maybe I tell you those quick impact projects we do in the RRP, those bridges, those the road, those. But the other one is my interaction in the POC.
With the community.
With the communities. Any POC around the country here, there are a lot of challenges inside. It is a big community. Like here in Juba, it's 32. According to the recent biometric registration statistics, 32,000 people. But they are living in a kind of confined area. You can imagine. But we are the ones who work with them. You sit with them there to take tea. You go in the small shops, you take tea with them. Mm. That one alone makes them understand, okay, there are some people who can still visit us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that one, you feel great that, yes, people, at least, even if they have been in the POC for that time, you can still find some people who can smile, that they can show that there is hope.
Sure.
They have not lost everything.
People who love to be with them, interact with them, eat with them, sit with them.
Yes. Mm. You see that, at least with a smile in some of these people, you see that there is hope. They have hope that one day everything will be fine.
Okay, thank you so much. And sometimes there are situations. So if you are stranded on a desert island, what luxury would you like to have and why?
Stranded, at least needed a luxury of sleeping, if I can have sleep. Because sometimes sleep alone
helps
you
the
don't
brain,
have
helps
that
someone.
Time. Because in situations we have worked, I remember in Pibo when there was a fight for the whole day, because of the influx of IDPs, we could not sleep. Became a very big luxury to find even an hour to lay down. Became very something very rare. So, but sometimes when you are in a peaceful environment, you will never think of it, that even sleep, to find time to sleep, is something very, very important. But there are so many people in these environments of conflict, you find that even to find that one is not there.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Give us your next track.
My next track is Eddie Kenzo, City Arosi.
Sitalosi ndi boss, sitalosi. Dance, dance. Ye baba bubu ke mvumulo, ye baba bubu ke mvumulo. Akalero kansonga, akubye ndi mumudu ya chingoma. Sagala nyombo, kubange no sawa ya nungo. Bagambye sagala nyombo, eno sawa ya chikiri. Mwama sembera, mulamu wasova. Jangu tetale, yansiri akulika. Lekanzine, nenzina mumama, mulamu wajisera. Ato muziki zuri sana. Lekanzine, nenzina mulamu wajisera. Sitalosi ndi boss, sitalosi. Dance, dance. Abange, unobulamu bumbi. Zekugambi, kalimundeke nange. Kwenzi jukira muche mfute, endo satekubana. Acholeka otada, nebakendi kakanga. Itali musana, oh mama, oh la la, yeah. Oh agaliba, oh agaliba.
Kati toba kona chungamba, jango mziki tukusamba. Kambe toba kona chungamba, jangwe nutuichangi.
Aye le 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 le, aye le 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 le.
Lekansi
le, nzina mumama, unamu wajisera. Ato mziki zuri sana,
lekansi
le.
zina mwao zina 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 mwao zina yelelele.
Welcome once again to the Spotlight. Spotlight is a program that brings you the voices of UN volunteers in South Sudan. So who are the people who have been most influential in your life?
I would say my parents, my friends, especially in school. Because I realize I spent more time in my life with my friends more than...
Well, then you are being at home with your parents.
At home. When I was a boy... That one, of course, we were obliged to be at home. But after, I spend more time with friends and my family than my parents. And you find that, for example, in the mission here as a volunteer, if you count the time I have spent with my colleagues, is more than time I have spent with my family.
True.
So they have an influence on me, on my behavior, on how I work with people. And even also the influence I have had also with the people.
How have you been able to interact with the diverse community? You have already said the friends are influential and you love them so.
First of all, I think I am a sociable person. Everybody says it. I can easily socialize with the people,
everyone say because you don't want to blow your trumpet.
No, they say so because when I have a strength, I say it. Okay. Yeah, I have weaknesses also, but this one of interacting with the people, it is not only here. I tell you, when I was in Nepal, I was at the border between Nepal and India, and I was the only African there.
And you interacted well with them.
Interacted for 2 years without coming back home. For 2 years. No R&R, no. Mm. I came for 2 years, I came back. So
you must be a very free person with every kind of people.
If you want to work with people, you must be social. You are not going to be a commander. Tell people, do this. No, you need to understand them so that they will understand the best way of doing some of these things.
You need to get closer, not like these people, like coordinating a work from office, but you get direct to the people.
Yeah. For example, the POC. You cannot coordinate a POC from an office. No. Mm. Sometimes I take a vehicle, I drive, I go there. Hey, how are you? Greet them, all this. Can we have a tea? You sit there, then they feel from there you can change lives. You cannot change lives if people don't know you. They need to know you to make that confidence with you. Then they say, hey, what he's telling us or what he's discussing is very real. And remember, people believe more in other people who have come from outside than their own.
Sure.
They have seen everything. They have been with you for all the time. They know what you... So they need something new.
They want
something
the word
new.
To come from someone else someone to else, tell them that
someone
hope
else,
and
someone new.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, anything you found shocking during your assignment?
Not really. No, shocking, maybe lack of infrastructure in some of these places, like a simple road, that people have stayed in those locations for almost their lives. They have never crossed to another place. That makes it very, very strange, made it very strange. I know even in my country, such places are there, but they have closed that gap slowly by slowly because once the roads are there, people can move, can go and visit. But in some places in this country, people even cannot visit their own neighborhood.
And you said that sometimes the times tedious work, but have you found some other things that makes you happy? Maybe sometimes away from work environment.
Yeah, you sit there, you watch TV, like in Juba. Even in other places, we had dishes. You watch TV to know what is happening. Sometimes you play or you walking or running around. In the dry season, not in a rainy season, because it's some
places. Is that running around exercise or what kind of running?
It's an exercise.
Okay.
You jogging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, jog. Okay. You jog around. or you play badminton, or you play, you know, in our bases, at least welfare has tried to put all these because
in place
for staff to do something outside of work.
It is true. You have to have something outside.
Yeah. Again, to take you away from the computer, because sometimes I use that time to study. You read a lot on internet. You read some of the things you don't understand. You find the time to read, but sometimes you need even to leave that one just to relax.
We need you to give us the next song.
The next song is Happy People by R. Kelly.
Okay, listener, enjoy the song chosen by our guests.
Questions you have passed my test.
You're tuned to Spotlight. Spotlight brings you the stories of amazing people who have interesting journeys and share with us their journeys of volunteerism. What is it about that makes you stand apart or you stand out?
I am one of the longest serving volunteers. That one, there is no question that if they check in their records,
yeah, the longest.
I'm one of the longest. I don't know, there could be even those who have served more, for sure. Mm. But I'm one of those. And I've been consistent in my duty station. until they changed me. They have changed me 2 times in this all this time since I came to South Sudan, from Warab to Juba duty station.
Oh.
It is very, very important also, that change. I never resigned because of hardships. I'm a dedicated person. I think my evaluators can find out, but I feel the things I do good, well, I mention them.
Yeah, you earlier told us about you like reading books, so what book has made the most impact on your life?
What I read mostly is newspapers online, reading on issues that are in the world. For example, I follow a lot about the peace agreement, the peace initiatives, efforts of South Sudan. Every day, when I wake up, when I reach in the world, I have to open the computer and those websites where I can find to see any update. Then I read about my country and the region, about issues to do with, for example, the threat like Ebola. I have to read every day to be aware. So those are the things I read that are very, very having influence on the region, my country, and the others, but also things to do with the peace in the world, especially in our region here, which is volatile. You find that the issues we have that are still volatile in this region is South Sudan, Somalia, Congo, and Burundi somewhere. So all those things I have to follow up, because I did not follow them when I was young. It was not an issue. But now I see that it is important, because the future of my children, the future of others, other people who are younger than me, will be at stake, because conflict will become more complex than it is. But we need to be prepared to confront or to find out new methods, new ways of resolving these conflicts, because they can devastate the world.
Okay. As a UNV, what 2 tips would you give someone who would want to serve as a UN volunteer?
1 tip is simplicity, humility. Some people, if they think they have come to change this thing because they have a lot of great skills on this, and they said, then please cool down. You just give a drop. Others come and give a drop. Then one by one makes a bundle. These issues of saying, no, it is best done like, no. First of all, also another tip is to listen and respect others. Listening to others, because it is not only you who has skills. There are many skills. But people need to be listened to. They need to recognize that they have also something to contribute. So once you do that, you succeed.
Any important lessons maybe that you have learned during your serving as a UNV?
I have learned one lesson I have learned, that I still have many things to learn, that the world has many, many people with different beliefs, and they have different values. But one of the things, that peace must be for all, no matter the color, no matter race, or this kind. Peace is for all, because it affects all of us when there is a conflict and war.
Okay, thank you so much. And if there's anything you'd want to add, especially you are here in South Sudan and you are talking about the peace, what would you say?
I would urge the youth in South Sudan, almost are the ones involved in the real issues of conflict, of fighting, the physical fighting, guns, all this kind. I think the youth need to think beyond that. They should use the energy they have, that physical energy, in productive activities, so that this country can, everybody can enjoy what they have.
And I believe also the POC are listening to you. Do you have any message for them, people you interact with, people you're always directly with them?
The youth in the POC, I meet many of them. They have many dreams. I'm just sending my message to them that, yes, it has been long. Let's continue working for peace. Not only peace this at a high level political this, but there is a peace at with each other. These gangs attacking others in the even the little peace they have in the POC, it's not good. If you cannot keep peace at your own community at that level, it will be very difficult also to keep it in a wider community.
Thank you so much for sharing with us your work and experience, Christopher.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much. And Christopher Kayongo is a developmental expert and peace-building professional with vast experience in conflict and post-conflict environment. Thank you for your great work and working with the communities.
Thank you very much for listening to me.
And you have been listening to Spotlight, a program that brings you the voices of UN volunteers in South Sudan.